Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome to another edition of the Talking Calcio podcast with Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier here on the Game Nashville Sports Network. A tough loss for Nashville SC Tuesday night in the second leg of the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions Cup against Tigres. Nashville was kind of against all odds, and we'll get into more of that in this episode, but also previewing their upcoming match Saturday, as you'll be listening to that as they head into taking on DC United here at Geodis Park. That'll be an interesting matchup for sure. A few injury updates here and there, and maybe a few question marks about the roster right now. We'll get into more of that right now on the Talking Calcio podcast. Well, Nashville SC lose 2-0 on aggregate, 1-0 at home, and 1-0 away at El Volcan. Nashville SC looked like they had a chance in the first leg, and then Angel Carrera decided to put one in the back of the net. I will say that goal was pretty special, not only for the fans of Tigres, but just soccer fans in general for watching such a incredible goal. I mean, you got to give credit to Angel Carrera, a guy that's played overseas in Europe in La Liga, Atletico Madrid, and then now finds his spot in Liga MX with Tigres. So kudos to that goal. And then in the second leg, Nashville, I mean, I use the joke legs because Nashville, they were without the legs. They didn't have Eddie Tagseth, did not have Sam Surridge. And right before kickoff, Patrick Yazbek picked up an injury in warmups, and it was looked to be a quad injury, and it has been reported online that it's been a quad injury. I believe it was Ben Wright that posted a picture or video of the one and only Patrick Yazbek on the sideline in crutches. So that's unfortunate events for Nashville, but you look at that starting 11, and as I've predicted on these airwaves before on 102.5 The Game, that was the lineup that you wanted to go with. You wanted to go with Brian Schwaki, Palacios, Wolidze, Nahar on the right, Reed Baker-Whiting on the left. And in the midfield, you'd assume it'd been Corcoran and Yazbek, but Yazbek's injury held him out of the starting 11. So then that forced him to put Brian Acosta in there. We'll get a little bit more of that here in a second. But you look at Christian Espinoza on the right, Alex Moyle, you're forced to play him on the left. There's nothing wrong with Moyle. I just think that when you put a guy like Warren Madrigal as the secondary nine behind a guy like Sam Surridge, when he doesn't play, it is a bit interesting because it's a different approach. I know BJ has stressed a lot about how this needs to be a system-type team, but when the system is different, when you have a guy like Sam Surridge in there who's more of a target guy, in my opinion, when you throw those crosses in there and so forth, it's different because Warren Madrigal is a guy that likes to go in behind the line. You throw a deep through ball in, or you're able to just pass something in front of him. He rolls off the back of the defender, and he finds space there. That's kind of how you see Warren. Warren is a more go-get-it type of player. He goes right at the defender. He finds space. And that's the big issue right now for Nashville is how do you supplement the lack of production without Sam Surridge? You know, the big flack across the entire nation when it comes to MLS, and a lot of the news around Nashville, and not around Nashville, but the news surrounding Nashville SC at the national perspective, is Hani Mukhtar didn't step up in games where they needed him most. Personally, to me, I think Hani Mukhtar did a really good job for the most part when it came to his spacing. And again, Nashville were in a lack of midfield depth. So when that has happened in the past, we've seen Nashville have Hani Mukhtar drop deeper into a midfielder role to create more space for guys like Warren Madrigal, for guys like Christian Espinoza, and even in this case, Alex Moyle. There were times where you could see, you know, Andy Nahar running up the right flank or Reed Baker-Whiting running up the left flank. Those were times where you needed them to recognize the situation and one of them to go after it or one of them to stay back on defense. And, you know, I mentioned about Reed Baker-Whiting just a second ago, and that was one thing that I've recognized in his game, and he even mentioned this after the first leg of, or excuse me, the leg previous to the Tigres. It was Club America, the first leg. You could tell that he's still adjusting to the BJ Callahan Nashville SC system because, look, he made his debut in the CONCACAF Champions Cup against Atletico Ottawa early on in this tournament, and it was basically his tournament for the taking. I mean, we kind of saw the good, solid rotation, a healthy rotation of Reed Baker-Whiting in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, along with Daniel Lovitz playing in the MLS. So you have your veteran that's taking care of, I'd say, more of the, not easier schedule, but more of the schedule that's going to help you in the long run, which is MLS. Reed Baker-Whiting, to me, because he's younger, he has, you know, fresher legs, he's able to run up and down down that left flank a lot easier than a guy like Daniel Lovitz. Because let's be honest, last year, Daniel Lovitz, there was a lot asked out of him. And that was, you know, you have to make sure he's playing a full 90 minutes. Like, this guy has been known for not playing a full 90 in some aspects. There were times where BJ was asking a lot out of him last season. Hey, I need you to go a full 90. Because the backup to him really was not much. It was, at the time, Wyatt Meyer. And Wyatt Meyer was their, like, utility player. I mean, again, this is a young team. And I feel like, you know, when Nashville SC puts themselves in a really good position to win, that's their downfall, is the depth is young, which is a good thing for the future of the franchise and club. But it's also a kind of hiccup in the current situation, because prime example against Tigres. You look at the Tigres team when Nashville's without Patrick Yazbek, Eddie Tagseth, and even in this case, you're without, you know, a few other players. Guess what? Club America, Tigres, all those bigger clubs, they have two or three Sam Surges. They have two or three Hani Mukhtars. They have two or three Patrick Yazbeks, Eddie Tagseth. The list goes on and on. So that's why, again, it is fun to watch MLS. It is fun to watch how general managers can kind of finagle the system and try and, you know, manipulate roster spots and manipulate how the cap has worked, manipulate how, you know, DP spots are, you know, used, and how you can trade general allocation money for a, you know, draft pick, whatever it may be. I think that's, it's interesting. It's a cool concept. But when you get to the biggest stage of world soccer, and obviously the biggest stage is the World Cup, but you look at the CONCACAF Champions Cup for Nashville SC, this was a huge opportunity to not only win $5 million for the prize of the final, but also to punch your ticket in the 2029 FIFA Club World Cup. Again, I'm not faulting Nashville SC for losing at all, or faulting anybody in the front office for that, because they've done everything they can. And that was try and fill the holes on this roster in the offseason, bring in players that will help get this team more championships, try to capitalize off the U.S. Open Cup win last season. I think that's, they did a really good job at that, so you can't fault them for it. But you just wonder, is it the MLS's fault or is it FIFA's fault for allowing this to happen in these bigger tournaments like the CONCACAF Champions Cup? Even in this case, the Leagues Cup. The Leagues Cup is not even through MLS. Like, that's the thing, is if it's that type of situation, why on God's green earth are we not allowing a bigger roster size and or less restrictions on roster construction? Congratulations to both Liga MX teams to go to the final. And again, if you look back at that tournament, Nashville SC, you got something to pat yourselves on the back about, and that's being a top four team in CONCACAF. Like, that's, if you're a Nashville SC fan, that's great. You look at that for brand exposure. You look at that for not only brand exposure, but player exposure, because the summer transfer window for the World Cup is always one of the busiest and more populated transfer windows in all of soccer. You could say the Euros and all the domestic, you know, international tournaments like the Gold Cup and stuff like that. Those are the, I'd say, secondary most popular market to make summer transfer windows. But you look at this summer, you wonder if Nashville SC is going to be intrigued in any type of, you know, free transfers or any type of transfers going forward, because this is a team, I think, that is about one or two pieces from moving on to another tax bracket of being not just a really, really good team, but a great team. And again, that all comes back down to the system of BJ Callahan. We'll get into more of Nashville SC on the other side, right here on the Talking Calcio podcast, 102.5 The Game. Back on the Talking Calcio podcast, 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier here talking a little about Nashville SC. The big question that I got in my DMs along with looking at stuff online, and that is Nashville SC when it comes to the secondary striker. And I'm not talking about Hani Mukhtar following in behind Sam Surge or Warren Madrigal. It is a true number nine issue to some Nashville SC fans. Does Nashville SC need a backup number nine? Currently, I would say yes. For the future, I would say no. Right now, your other rotational, you know, number nine would be Wubens Pacius. Personally, to me, Wubens has been pretty solid for the most part when it comes to, you know, going into the game, subbing in, what, in the 65th minute, give or take on average. You're not left with much time there to really do much damage as a number nine. I thought his spacing has been pretty good for the most part. I thought finding the lanes and behind, you know, the back line. But again, Wubens is not really your true, you know, like Warren Madrigal, taking the defender head on and going in behind the back line. It's more of the target guy. And that's something Nashville SC does a really good job with when Sam Surge is in the lineup, is being that target guy. You have guys like Christian Espinoza and Alex Moyle, even Warren Madrigal. When Sam Surge is in the lineup, Warren Madrigal shifts out left. And so you have Warren and Espinoza. Personally, to me, I think that's the best spot for Madrigal. I know that, you know, Nashville SC, you could tell in their system, they're trying to really put Madrigal in more of a attacking position as at nine. But to me, personally, I think he's better out left. He does a really good job of attacking those defenders, like I've said before. Looking at Wubens Pacius, a guy that scored 18 goals last season in all competitions in the USL for the Tampa Bay Rowdies, you can't discount that. You can't discredit his work ethic because he's really earned a spot here in MLS with Nashville SC. And that's a guy that's looking for aspirations to play with his international team in Haiti, so represent his nation. That's something you got to keep an eye on. And this guy had a really good, you know, game or two against Atletico Ottawa. You look at that second leg where Nashville SC was in full control, and Wubens kind of took care of business in that game, and so did Ahmed Kassem. And we'll get into more of Ahmed Kassem here in a second because, you know, he's spoken to the media previously in the last couple matches, and you can kind of, you know, get a good gauge on him. But when it comes to that number nine role, I think you look at Wubens and you say there's something still missing in his game, and you just got to figure out what it is. For me, I think it's just the lack of minutes. And right now, I'd say now that the Champions Cup is over with, Nashville SC can now focus on that a little more. I would hope so. I would hope that they would focus more on playing a guy like Wubens Pacius against MLS teams because, let's be honest, like I mentioned in the first segment, Nashville SC has been one of the best teams in the MLS to start the season. And I think they have a really good core of a midfield when they're healthy to play guys like Wubens Pacius and even Ahmed Kassem into that attacking role at out left or even up top. You wonder how you can kind of facilitate this team to be more of, you know, that don't rely on Sam Surridge type team. And if you put a guy like Wubens Pacius in there, again, I mentioned in the first segment, it's not about the player, it's about the system. So if Nashville SC can facilitate players to put into the system like a guy like Wubens in for Sam and keep Warren out left, and or when Hani's not available, put Ahmed Kassem into that Trey Quartista role in that, you know, that attacking midfielder role. Because again, we've seen Ahmed Kassem in flashes. He had his first 2-point match a couple matches ago, I believe it was against Charlotte. The guy, he just needs the opportunity. And again, he's had the opportunity, but it's been out left. And to be fair, I don't think Ahmed Kassem is like a guy like Warren Madrigal. Warren Madrigal, again, that attacking mentality forward that you don't see in a guy like Ahmed Kassem. Ahmed Kassem is more of your, you know, can beat the defender, but it's going to be with his legs and the ball's not at his feet. The ball's going to be put in, you know, as a through ball, and or he's going to put it down the flank and he's going to chase after it. That's more of an Ahmed Kassem. And then when he gets into tight spaces inside the 18 or on the byline, that's where you're going to see him make a few moves with his feet and then flick something into the box through a cross. And then you have Wubens Pacius there to finish it away. To me, I would like to see Wubens a little bit more now that the MLS season is going to continue, and before the World Cup break. Once the World Cup break comes back, hopefully you get a healthy Sam Surridge. He starts fitting into form. And again, don't get this twisted when I say I'd like to see a little bit more Wubens Pacius. I'm not saying start him over Sam Surridge. I'm just saying when the opportunity is there for a guy like Wubens to get minutes, start him. That's what I'm saying. When the opportunity is there, when Sam is played 3-4 games, because we all know that schedule in July is going to get pretty heavy, because you go for a little bit of a stop in MLS play because of the World Cup. You got to backlog your schedule at some point. Why not start it in July, and then into August, into September? There's going to be times where Sam's going to need a rest. Eddie Taxat's going to need a rest. Even Patrick Gazbeck is going to need a rest. So you're going to have to find a spot to where you can put a guy like Rubens Pacius in the lineup. And it's going to happen. And when it does, hopefully he can strike hot with the iron and score once or twice and build momentum off that. I've recognized with this team, and it's anything in sports, when you have momentum, you're unstoppable. Nashville SC have been that way. Unfortunately, the injury issue has kind of struck a chord with them. But you're going to, you know, get past that. That's what really good teams have. They have really good adversity. They can move on from it. If they can do that, then they should be okay. But right now, Nashville SC is at the top of the Eastern Conference with 23 points. You wonder if they can kind of solidify that community shield. They're in a battle with the Western Conference as well, with LAFC, San Diego FC, all those top teams near the top there. So you just got to keep an eye on that. But as for Nashville SC, just stay the course. Get 3 points, go to the next game. Get 3 points, go to the next game. It's easier said than done, but Nashville SC is a team that has really proven that in the last month or so. Not only for CONCACAF Champions Cup, and again, for that purpose of CONCACAF Champions Cup, I think it only creates a better competition within the squad, because when it comes to practices, when it comes to film, you're able to understand how really good teams succeed under the next round, and that's what Nashville is. They're a really good team. Unfortunately, they did not succeed in the next round and basically go to the final of the Champions Cup, but that film helps them evolve into more opportunities with MLS. So to be fair, that's how you got to look at it going forward for Nashville, and let's see what they can do, I guess, in the second half of the season before the World Cup decides to come here in June. And that draws me back into my main subject, and that's Rubens Pacius. Like, yeah, according to Nashville SC stats on Twitter, and appreciate these numbers here, Rubens Pacius as a backup number 9 in 2024 as a 22-year-old. He had 10 goals and assists in 1,200 minutes in MLS Next Pro, which is a good sight to see. In 2025, as a 23-year-old, he had 18 goals and assists over a 2,700-minute span in the USL, which I mentioned last year with Tampa Bay. He had 18 goals and assists. So that is, you see more improvement out of a guy like Rubens from 24 to 25. You wonder, again, I talk about momentum and how this may hurt a little bit of momentum. I've said it before already on this podcast, and I'll reiterate it again. Nashville SC fans need to see Rubens Pacius before the World Cup, because again, when you roll into some momentum before World Cup, then you stop, depending on what happens, you know, in the month of June, if Rubens catches fire and catches a little bit of some momentum, that will lead into a strong second half, not only for Rubens Pacius, but for Sam Surge when he comes back healthy from that lower back injury. I think that's something that you can kind of look forward to. You don't just have one option in Sam Surge and force a guy like Warren Madrigal to play in that 9 role for Sam Surge when he's out. Again, I like the complexity it brings, like a different variety for a guy like, you know, Sam Surge and Warren Madrigal kind of offset different styles. But again, I think it kind of messes with the chemistry and messes with the system of what Nashville's trying to do. When you evolve your game and revolve your game around, you know, passing the ball quick, playing fast in transition, and then you don't have your target guy in Sam Surge over there to, you know, put the head on the ball at the end of the cross, there were times we saw it. I think a lot of us saw this, not only at Geodis Park, but also in Monterrey when they took on Tigres at El Volcan. There were passes from Christian Espinoza. There were passes from Hani Mukhtar. There were passes from even Matthew Corcoran from, I'd say, more of the attacking third. He'd put a little in-swinging cross into the backside of the box. And normally Sam Surge, if he's playing 9 times out of 10, that ball is in the back of the net. So Nashville, you could definitely tell they were missing that aspect of their game. I understand why you don't play a guy like, you know, Rubens Pacius in that situation because of the magnitude of the game. And also, he just hasn't had enough minutes. I think if you can get him minutes before the World Cup, this team will be completely different in the second half of the season. And honestly, it would make them a lot stronger to the point where they can kind of get to where they want to be. And that's in the MLS playoffs. And that is going deep in the MLS playoffs. Last season, when Nashville SC qualified for the U.S. Open Cup, BJ Callahan made it very, very clear. We want to win the U.S. Open Cup. It means a lot to this club to win a championship. Same thing went for CONCACAF Champions Cup. You're going to see that now for MLS. When one door closes, another one opens. And because the Champions Cup closed in the semifinal of their loss, two doors open. Not just one, but two. You could say three, but I don't want to look too far down the hallway. Two doors open, and that is the Community Shield and the MLS playoffs. So you have something to look forward to, Nashville SC fans. Don't be down and out. Obviously, it is a bit concerning when you don't have a second number nine behind Sam Surge, but don't get too hung up on it. We're going to have more of that on the other side right here on the Talking Calcio podcast on the Game Nashville Sports Network on 102.5 The Game. And now joining us is Nashville SC General Manager and President of Soccer Operations, Mike Jacobs. Mike, how you doing this afternoon? Or morning.
Great, Nick. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
All good.
My schedule is just all over the place. But yeah, we're in the morning. Goodness gracious. Nashville SC having a really good start to the MLS season. Unfortunate coming up short in the semifinals against Tigres. But what is your overall assessment so far of this club that you've constructed for the roster?
I sent a message out both to our players and our staff just yesterday to kind of reflect back on not only this week, but the start of the season. And, you know, as a competitor, I mean, if you're not upset when you lose or get knocked out of a tournament, you know, something's probably wrong with you. So I think, you know, we were all pretty dejected and disappointed, you know, leaving Monterrey on Tuesday night or early Wednesday morning. But, you know, you look back on the whole experience. I mean, you know, there's a small number of teams in Major League Soccer history that have advanced to the CONCACAF Champions Cup semifinals, like ever, you know. So for us to do that is a tremendous achievement for our club, and, you know, it changes our profile, not only like in the United States among fans and media, but, you know, also all over North America. But the reality is, I mean, other than Vancouver last year, we are the only team in MLS history that has gone to the CONCACAF Champions Cup semifinals while also being in first place in our conference. You know, the reality is when you have so many games, and it's a tight period of time, it's very difficult to kind of maneuver both. And, you know, it's not a coincidence. We've only had one year in our club's history we didn't make the playoffs. I don't think it's a coincidence that year also occurred, you know, the first time we played in CONCACAF Champions Cup. So, you know, when you think about that kind of congestion and how to manage both those things and to see how well the team's done, to feel really, really lucky. I think we've got a tremendous group of players and staff here.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned there the CONCACAF Champions Cup, just the difficulty of roster construction. Obviously, when you go up against teams in, you know, other leagues like Liga MX with Tigres and Club America, they have a little bit more, you know, player acquisition, a little bit more to choose from in their player pool. When it comes to MLS teams, it seems like you're going up against a bit of a mountain. Mm-hmm. I guess for you, as a guy that constructs the roster, you've kind of mentioned it just now, but how difficult is it to really grasp the true concept of it, to try to get the best of 11 out there, even past the best 11, but even on the bench?
Well, you know, our league has some different challenges and restrictions from the standpoint of having a salary cap and other roster restrictions compared to leagues like Liga MX. But, you know, for us, competing as teams of that ilk, like that level, you know, you have to have everything go right. You have to have not only all your key players healthy, you have to all be playing really well. And I think you saw it, you know, especially both legs this semifinal round against Tigres. They're an outstanding team and very worthy of being in the CCC final. They executed their game plan really, really well against us in both legs, made it really hard for us to be able to generate scoring chances. And I think, you know, it's to be able to play at this kind of level and to be among the elite teams in North America, you've got to be on your game all the time. And we were kind of punished for it.
Yeah, you know, we've talked in you know, months past, along with not only you, but also BJ Callahan has even mentioned, you know, when you have young guys like Warren Madrigal, Reed Baker-Whiting, I mean, this is one of the more younger teams in MLS. You look at Maxwell Bellizzi, I mean, they're 23, 21-year-old players. And to have a coach like BJ Callahan, who's kind of known for developing that younger talent, how much has that helped not only your job, but just player development as a whole throughout the club?
Well, for us, when we first talked about trying to create like a club game model, that's not just like how we want to try to play on the field, but really it's kind of who we wanted to be, you know? So the idea of having younger players in our group, whether it's being able to kind of extend the life cycle of our team, you know, younger players obviously can be in your core longer, but also maybe increase the talent pool, potentially sell players on. You know, most clubs around the world, they want guys who are 20 years old, not 30 years old, you know? So once we decided to do that, then it came in trying to find a manager they thought could do that. And really very quickly, you know, it became very clear that the best person to fit how we wanted to play and who we wanted to be was BJ. And, you know, he's just been so outstanding for us. I just can't say enough great things about him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned transfers of other teams across not only here in North America, but also in Europe and elsewhere.
The World Cup's on the horizon. It's one of the more popular transfer windows, the summer transfer window. When it comes to a young team like Nashville SC, I'm sure your phone line has to be buzzing from time to time, right?
Yeah, look, I get asked by someone earlier today about like how the summer window or World Cup can affect changes in your team. You know, the reality for us, I mean, you know, we try to get 10 months to a year ahead of what we're doing as far as our planning for our roster and acquisitions. It's not as simple as watch the guy on TV one day and say you want to try to sign him the next day. There's a lot that goes into the identification and the recruitment, you know. But for us, I mean, I think, you know, knowing that you have a world championship and, you know, the biggest tournament in the world and having it here in the U.S., there's definitely opportunity. Is presented to us now, maybe weren't presented before.
Yeah, and kind of just take the Nashville SC fans and the listeners behind the closed doors a little bit. When it comes to roster construction, obviously with Nashville SC being in a salary cap league and also having certain, you know, the U22 initiative spots, the DP spots, your hands kind of get tied a little bit because when you have fans saying, oh, we need more, but then you look at it and you think, well, you kind of exercise the majority of those spots. How do you manage that as one of those guys that constructs the roster?
Look, the current roster restrictions they have right now, the certain regulations, we can have six players on discretionary spends, which means we have three designated players and three under 22s, or we can have two DPs and four U22s. What those players are, your designated players, you can offer them any amount of money, and they hit the salary cap for a fixed amount of money. And then you have your under 22s, players who are under the age of 22. You can have three players who are discretionary spends where you can spend maybe more than the traditional amount of money you spend on a player. And they also have like a fixed roster designation, like a cap number. So those six players, you know, three, you know, over 22 players and three under 22 players, you know, you can kind of pay them what you want or pay transfer fees what you want. And they hit the cap the same way it would Miami with Lionel Messi. You know, like, but the reality is we only have so many guys like that, you know, on your roster. So, you know, we have to be very thoughtful about how we populate the rest of our roster to make sure it all fits.
Mike Jacobs is on the line with us here from Nashville SC, General Manager and President of Soccer Operations.
Yeah, Mike, you know, you mentioned Nashville SC being the first team ever in MLS history to not only make it to that Champions Cup semifinal, but to also be holding on to first place in the conference. Obviously, it's a little bit unique in soccer because you have multiple tournaments going on in the middle of your normal MLS season. As a GM, what are some of the things that you can learn about your team and about your roster as you're seeing your team make this run in some of these other tournaments, but also continuing to chase after that MLS trophy at the end of the year in December?
So often when we look at trying to put players together in a roster, it could be magnets on a board or names in an Excel spreadsheet. But, you know, really, until you get them together in the same field, it's hard to see how cohesive they are. You know, the idea, obviously, the difference between like fantasy football and maybe what we're doing is, you know, in fantasy football, you're really trying to just collect players. You know, you're just trying to just get as many guys as you can and, you know, have certain stats. For us, because they have to play on the field together, we're trying to make sure they're cohesive. You know, they fit together as pieces. You know, the likes of Eddie Tagsith and Patrick Yazbek, how do they fit together as a partnership? Maxwell Waleci and Yason Palacios is like a partnership, you know. So maybe there's certain things they have to do together. And really, the only way you kind of do it is pressure test them, you know, have them on the field together. And, you know, we spend a lot of time looking at data and looking at video, meeting with players in person and talking to them. But until you have them together and until you can kind of pressure test them under, like, you know, rigid demands, you don't really know what you have. And when you saw this group play at the Azteca, you know, one of the largest stadiums, one of the most famous stadiums in the world, to be able to do that and then to knock Club America off, you know, to me, I feel it's kind of like watching Brian Schwachy last year in the U.S. Open Cup final against Austin. You know, under those demands, you know, you're seeing someone do it at the highest of levels and the most pressure-tested situation. You know, if you can do it there, you can kind of do it anywhere. You know, so for us, where it's still only 30% into this MLS regular season, you know, we've got a chance to put these guys on the microscope, and I used that phrase before, pressure test them to see kind of what they're really all about.
Yeah, Mike, last one for me. When it comes to you talking about pressure testing players, I thought it was interesting. Well, in previous games, I think it was Charlotte a couple Saturdays ago, Ahmed Kassem was asked a question about just the veteran leadership on the team, and he specifically mentioned Hani Mukhtar and being one of those players. Obviously, Hani was the first signing here with Nashville SC, but also to the point of him being that bigger brother figure and being the captain of the team. It just feels like that's somebody you can really take the initiative of being the true captain of a team like Nashville SC?
You look at someone like Ahmed. I mean, every player has a different adaptation period when they come from a different country, a different part of the world. It could even be someone even in the country coming from a different market. You know, it takes everyone, you know, everyone's different as far as how quickly they can adapt, you know, what things they need to help settle in. To have a leader like Hani, who does such a great job of integrating young players, integrating new players, it helps make the locker room more of a welcoming place. And I think when you have veteran leadership with guys like Hani, it just makes it easier for a lot of these young guys that you mentioned earlier that we're bringing in to kind of be able to adapt and settle in.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Jacobs, president of soccer operations and general manager of Nashville SC, joins us here this morning on Next Man Up. Mike, we appreciate the time. We'll see you guys tomorrow night taking on DC United for Eddie Tagseth bobblehead night.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Appreciate it. Mike Jacobs, president of soccer operations and general manager of Nashville SC, joins us here on Next Man Up. This team is clicking on all cylinders heading into the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, and unfortunately they couldn't get past that because of Tigres, but minus that, they're back into MLS regular season, taking on DC United tomorrow night at 8:15 at Geodis Park. Again, Eddie Tagseth bobblehead night, be a fun one to go to. If you're there, reach out to me on Twitter, whatever, and I'll see if I can meet you somewhere. It'll be a fun game to watch. It doesn't look like they'll be with Sam Surridge, Yazbek, and Tagseth, so we'll see what happens with that. I'm not sure what the injury status is on Tagseth, but Yazbek previously getting hurt in Monterrey in that second leg of the Champions Cup, and once again, Sam Surridge still week-to-week on that lower back injury. So we'll see what happens there, and we'll get into more stuff on the other side on 102.5 The Game. Just wrapped up conversation with Nashville General Manager and President of Soccer Operations, Mike Jacobs. Kind of delving in a little bit of the roster construction and just the overall, you know, evolution of this club within the last season or so. And, you know, this is a team that has really evolved under BJ Callahan. I think the system that he implements, again, this is something we kind of really touched on with Mike, but it's more of the, you know, you have guys like Warren Madrigal, Sam Surridge, and Hani Mukhtar, and Christian Espinoza. I think we all understand the Espinoza signing was probably one of the key signings to really, I guess, adding more quality in the attacking third for Nashville when it comes to just, you know, goal opportunities, on-goal opportunities. Warren Madrigal recently has been playing as that number nine role when Sam Surridge is not in, you know, because of injury. I think it's interesting because they're two separate players. Warren Madrigal is more of a, you have the ball at your feet, you're going to take the defender head on. Again, he can be pretty physical and scrappy, but again, that's where you kind of want Warren to be more of the back to goal, and that's why Sam is so beneficial in this case of the system, is that he's a tall, lengthy striker that is, you know, your guy that kind of is in front of the goal for the most part within inside the 18 and is able to just put a foot on the ball and it goes into the back of the net. His positional placement on the field is definitely top notch in the MLS. That's why he's one of the top goal scorers in the league right now. Excuse me, but then you look at Warren Madrigal. He does a good enough job to be that supplemental number nine. And again, they have Wubens Pacius, who is a young number nine. He has the size and the stature of a guy like, you know, Sam Surridge. But again, there's that youth aspect, that development aspect that still needs to grow as a player.
Yeah, and that's what makes Nashville SC so exciting, I think. It's because they are high-flying and they are fun to watch, and they are young. I mean, that was one of the takeaways, I think, when we were talking to Mike, is that he talked about that. This is a young team that is still growing, is still learning, and are becoming that peak version of themselves as professional athletes. And, you know, I think that you talk about Madrigal, it's easy to forget that he's only 21 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, he just became legal to drink not that long ago. I mean, it's not been that long. And you bring in a guy like Surridge as well, who since coming here from being in the Premier League and being in the EFL Championship in England has been a very, very steady presence. And then obviously you have the guy that has been kind of the centerpiece for so long in Hani Mukhtar, who has just continued to be one of the best playmakers and goal scorers in all of MLS. The guy has had no fall off whatsoever in that time. So you do have some of that youth, but you also still have some of that experience. And experience doesn't just come in terms of age, but it comes from playing big matches. It comes from playing against these grown men overseas and in Europe that have that experience and are at a very, very high talent level that isn't far off, and in some cases even surpasses some of these teams that you're playing in the MLS. So it's very interesting just the roster makeup that Nashville SC has, because they do have a lot of that youth. But at the same time, they're not just, you know, the team that's young and dumb that's going to make mistakes either. So it's kind of an interesting balance because they're young and they're learning, but also it doesn't always feel like they're as young as they are.
Yeah, exactly. And you look from all the way from the back line, and it's just the, you know, I keep using the word evolution, but it is. It's an evolution of just how the players are developing. You go from Joe Willis last season, who was a huge piece into, you know, just setting the standard for the goalkeeping, you know, position. Now you have Brian Schwacki, and even Mike Jacobs mentioned in that U.S. Open Cup run how he developed as a player and how it was, there were a lot of difficult tasks for him to develop as a young goalkeeper. You look at him now, the guy has 10 clean sheets in you know, MLS play, which is incredible. I mean, across all competitions, I believe. And he's just been nothing but spectacular for this club. And to be fair, I've even mentioned this before, when Nashville SC, after the first leg of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, he is the sole reason why Nashville SC was down 1-0. I mean, obviously, he's a goalkeeper, whatever. You're keeping goals out of the net. I get all that. But there were a few kick saves that I thought were going to be put into the back of the net easy. The second effort you see from Brian Schwacki is definitely next level. And again, goes to his youth a little bit as well for being only in his, you know, early 20s. I think it's huge. I mean, mid-20s, that is, 24. And let's not forget, too, the backup goalie for Nashville SC, you could say is Joe Willis. But also the third one, Xavier Valdez, a guy that has been called up to the international ranks of the Dominican Republic for a little bit of time. That is huge, because you look at a guy last season, Matthew Corcoran, who evolved into being a perennial box-to-box midfielder, a holding midfielder, and he had a lot of call-ups to the U-20 national team for the United States, which I think was huge in his development. You look at the early rounds of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, a couple long balls he put to Jordan Knight, that one he put on a rope, and Jordan Knight finished it, which was beyond, you know, spectacular. It was awesome if you go back and watch those highlights. So there's a lot of positive feedback when it comes to Nashville SC's roster. The only issue right now is the injuries that you're dealing with, and that is Sam Surridge, Eddie Tagg, Seth, and Patrick Yazbek. Like I've mentioned before earlier this week on Wednesday with Joe Dubin, it was Ben Wright with 615 Soccer that posted the video, because he was boots on the ground in Monterey at El Volcan. Before the game and warm-ups, Patrick Yazbek was, you know, caught limping off the field, then ended up coming back onto the sideline, but was with crutches. So that is something to keep an eye on. You wonder how that evolves for Nashville SC, and especially for Patrick Yazbek's, you know, career alone by itself, because he wants to play for Australia in the World Cup. Those were his aspirations. You wonder if he can get healed enough to the point where he can be on the roster. So it's something to keep an eye on. But overall, this team's clicking on all cylinders. You just wonder if a team like DC that can get past the battle tonight, or not tonight, but tomorrow, excuse me.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with Nashville SC coming off that tough loss to Tigres, how quickly can they put that in the back of their minds and now focus on MLS competition? Because it's easy when you are that close to a significant club trophy. And I think it's also easy to forget that they won a trophy a year ago.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't even mentioned that. So this is a young team that also has already accomplished things and have seen what it takes to win these competitions. But it also is another side of it to where you're going to have to put away that disappointment rather quickly, to where you had to travel to Monterey just 3 or 4 nights ago, and now it's on the MLS competition. And you're going to be missing multiple really key cogs to what you like to do in your starting 11. So I am very interested. We heard him talk about tests. That is a test for this young team that I'm really, really interested in. Nick, there is one thing that you did mention that I'm curious to get your thoughts on, though. And
sure.
You mentioned the goalkeeping situation. And when I heard you talking about that between Schwacki and Willis, there was a specific comparison that immediately came to mind, and it's right in the city. It kind of reminds you of the passing of the torch between Pekka Rinne and UC Saros 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It is very similar to where the longtime staple goaltender is kind of ushering in the next guy after him, this young goalkeeper that has come in, has developed in this system, and is slowly but surely starting to take that starting role consistently as the old guard kind of starts to find their way out and becomes the leader. I'm curious what your thoughts on that, because when I heard you talking about that, that was the first thing that came to mind to me, to where it is a almost identical situation to what we saw with the Predators that we're seeing now of Nashville SC in their goalkeeping.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back in the history of Nashville SC, when even they were in the USL, it was Matt Pickens, and everybody, you know, knows Matt Pickens as that goalkeeper coach, and then ended up, you know, staying on staff with Gary Smith and then evolving into more of Joe Willis was the goalkeeper. And then when BJ Callahan took over, you had Joe Willis as your keeper, and then you evolve into Brian Schwacki. And again, when you look at the difference of the two, I feel like last season there was a lot asked out of a guy like Joe Willis, because that's not a goalkeeper you see being like a sweeper keeper, being like that the additional defenseman in a roundabout way to pass the ball at your feet from outside the 18. I think there was a lot asked out of him to do that. You see that with Brian Schwacki now, that, you know, left backs and right backs like Daniel Lovitz and Andy Nahar, even Jason Palacios and Maxwell Wolitzki as the center backs, they're not afraid to pass it back to the goalkeeper. I'm not saying they were with Joe Willis, but it's just the youth movement with Nashville SC, especially that goalkeeping position, where you can utilize your keeper a little bit more. I mean, it reminds me of the prime Manchester City days, and it's just how soccer's evolving as a whole, is where, you know, Pep Guardiola liked to use Ederson as his sweeper keeper, and, you know, you could say the godfather of all this was Manuel Neuer, the German goalkeeper way back in the day for Bayern Munich, that was the true sweeper keeper and was very useful with his feet. So I think that's just the new wave of soccer. It's the new wave of how stuff is being built out of the back. You wonder if that is going to stay the same status quo going forward in the game. I think it will. But yeah, no, you make a good point about the passing of the torch. And again, Joe Willis has been nothing but a great mentor for a guy like Brian Schwacki and Xavier Valdez when it was last season up into this season. So I think it's huge to have guys like that on your roster, especially when it comes to the midfielders as well. Like, I think we kind of forget about, you know, I wouldn't say forget, but we take for granted, and we kind of mentioned with Mike, is the Hani Mukhtar realm of it all, being that captain of the team. A lot of Nashville SC fans and even national media have, I wouldn't say criticized Hani in this regard, but in the second leg of the CONCACAF Champions Cup without Sam Surridge, people were always wondering of like, well, how come Hani was not more involved in the offensive attack? Well, like, you got to think about this. One of your top talented center midfielders was injured before the game. So you're forcing your attacking midfielder, your Trey Quartista, Hani Mukhtar, your creator in this case, to drop deeper into the midfield a little bit. And plus, Nashville wanted to spread the ball out wider in that second leg. So that's something you got to keep an eye on, and also keep in the back of your head of things change. The system kind of has to evolve a little bit. It's not specifically curated around one specific player. That's why I like, you know, this Nashville SC team currently, is that we're seeing a new version of Hani Mukhtar. We saw it last season when Sam Surridge, I don't know if you recall the game where Sam Surridge and Hani Mukhtar was trying to figure out who was going to be kicking the penalty kicks going forward. And it was a changing of the guard, like you're talking about, the passing of the torch to Sam Surridge to take those penalty kicks. And I think once we recognize that situation, Hani took a more professional role and dropping deeper back into, you know, attacking positions and also into more of a creative role. I'm not saying he's taking himself out of the attack. No, not by all means. It's just some situations it requires him to drop deeper back to create more overlapping runs and also just more space in between the lines for other guys like Warren Madrigal and Christian Espinoza.
And it's funny, while you were saying that, I couldn't help but to kind of look, because we've been talking about numbers like with Cardell Tate, with the ADOT and things of that nature. I couldn't help but to kind of look up some of the numbers with Hani Mukhtar, and I was really pleasantly surprised almost just by the impact that he said, because like you said, he's had to drop back a little bit, and there has been a bit more of the changing of the guard. It's not just been Hani Mukhtar or nothing at all in terms of the striking and the attack for Nashville SC, but his impact offensively has still been just as there, if not more there, than when he was the main option. And if you want proof of that, it's 2021 season, which was the season before his MVP season, but easily one of the best seasons of the prime of his career. He was 25 years old. His non-penalty goals plus assists per 90 minutes was 0.9. So far this season, at the age of 30, is 0.86. So his offensive impact is just about what it was 5 years ago at the age of 25, when he was the primary relied upon player for this team to produce offensively. And Nashville SC teams that, if you remember, the biggest criticism of those teams was that there was not enough offensive attack outside of Hani Mukhtar. Now he has that, but he is still producing at the same level that he was when he didn't have that. And if I am a Nashville SC fan, that makes me absolutely foam at the mouth at what this team could possibly do as their season continues on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the only unfortunate thing is not having that backup number nine like we talked about earlier about with Warren Madrigal kind of supplementing that space for a guy like Sam Surge. Again, two different styles of players, which it kind of, again, it's the system and not the player. But when those two are, you know, having to change places, it's tough to find that right, you know, position for a guy like Warren Madrigal. I like him more on the outside, that left attacking role, mid-role, and have Espinoza on the right if you're talking about a full A-team lineup, because then you have Sam up top, followed by Hani as that offsetting 9 and 10 there. But the midfielders right now, that's the big worry if you're a Nashville SC fan. How do you get past that? Obviously, Matthew Corcoran played a lot of minutes this past Tuesday. You wonder if there's going to be a heavy rotation of players this Saturday. That's my only worry right now for Nashville, if they start having a little bit of a hiccup before the World Cup break. And that is, you know, trying to figure out what the midfield combination is going to look like. You're probably going to maybe be forced to play Brian Acosta a little bit more than you thought you would. That's a veteran player that you're going to have to try to find a space for. And then along with that, you got Matthew Corcoran, who I just mentioned. So you're kind of forced to play players on short rest. But again, this team is talented enough and strong-minded enough to where they can get the result you hope if you're a Nashville SC fan. It'll be definitely an interesting task for them this upcoming, you know, summer transfer window when it comes to the World Cup. Again, like I mentioned before with Mike Jacobs, it's one of the more popular and, I guess, high-volume transfer windows because of the value of players throughout the World Cup. It is going to be something to watch. And also, too, Nashville is kind of, I'd say, constricted a little bit because of all the DP spots, the U-22 spots, and like Mike, you know, mentioned in the last segment of the last hour of how you construct the roster, that is. So, and you make a good point about the MLS, because Nashville right now is sitting at 23 points atop of the Eastern Conference, looking to kind of chase that Community Shield with basically the best record in MLS behind San Jose and Vancouver in the Western Conference. San Jose with 28, Vancouver with 25, followed by Seattle and Minnesota in the Western Conference with 21 and 20. So Nashville basically sit 4 points ahead of New England, which is in second place at 19, followed by Inter Miami at third and 19. So that is something to watch for. As long as Nashville stays first place in the Eastern Conference, for me, I'd be happy as a clam if you're a Nashville SC fan, because then you're able to look at the playoffs and be in a good position to win something. So like you said, go tournament chasing, go championship chasing. So that's the thing.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait. Lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.